to the CPG Scoop. We are so excited to be here during March Madness. I don't know. Got to throw that in there. I don't know. Not even a basketball fan. But anyway, excited because it's just an exciting time of year. So I am Risa Crandall.
And I'm Jennifer Silverberg.
And we are so happy to have Allie here with us from Harmless Harvest to talk to us today on the CPG Scoop. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
I'm excited to have her here. I love Harmless Harvest. I'm guessing you do too, Risa.
I do. Yeah. Your products are right in my pantry. They're right in up my alley. So love it. Love it. Well, welcome.
To hear that.
We are so happy to have you here. It's just a fantastic opportunity for us to have these conversations with some people we know, some people we get to know. And we always like to start off by asking you a little bit to share a little bit about yourself, your background, how you, kind of came to Harmless Harvest, and just your thoughts on the industry. It's a big question there, but we'd love to give you an opportunity to kind of set the stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for having me. I came to the CPG space post-grad school, didn't intend to go into CPG, but found it early on in grad school and said, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I want to do. Thank God I went to that marketing club info session. But what I love about it is the general management piece that's so central to working in brand, but also getting to marry the creative piece of the marketing side every day in my job. So it brings such wonderful balance to the things that we get to work on in this space. Following graduation, I went to Clorox, worked there for about 5 years on a number of big consumer-loved brands like Hidden Valley and Kingsford, had great experiences there, but was ultimately looking for something just a little bit more purpose-driven. Not to say Clorox isn't a fantastic company, but wanted something where I felt like I was making more of a positive impact on the world, more of a direct impact through my actual work by being, at a smaller company, doing something a bit more entrepreneurial, able to move more quickly. And so I landed at Harmless Harvest and joined a great team that was in place there to grow the brand for the last 4 or 5 years that I've been here. So it's been a great journey. The brand's grown a ton, have learned a lot about how to bootstrap things and work without an insights department and all that good stuff with that comes with transitioning from a big company to a small company. But it's been a fabulous journey.
I don't think you said exactly what is your position and what is your purview with that?
Sure. So I am the VP of marketing at Harmless Harvest. So all things brand, digital, creative, and mission kind of roll up through me.
Wow. That's a big job.
It is a big scope.
So one of our favorite things to do is ask you to, put everything on the head of a pin with a single word. What is your one word approach to marketing right now?
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't use the word iterative. I think with the changing landscape in marketing, the sort of new trend every day, the new technology every day, we really have pioneered a very iterative approach to marketing. And even though we do engage in annual planning, we're not set on things if new opportunities arise. We're also not sort of repeating what worked last year, this year, and hoping for the same results. There's always new elements to the plan, trying new platforms, trying new doors in, giving totally different briefs to creators, and seeing what that does from a KPI standpoint. And I think that that's enabled a lot of really great results. It also empowers the team. I think that when you're iterative, it can lead to burnout if it's not managed well. But I think that it also really empowers the experts on my team to feel like there's a culture of, hey, I want to try something differently. And I know that that's going to be well received as long as I bring the rationale to back it up. And so we've done a lot of really cool stuff on the backs of willing to be iterative and change as needed.
That's great. That's great. I would love to know, like, if you could give us an example of one of the iterative, kind of agile programs that maybe you jumped into or a different approach to marketing and how that came to life.
Yeah, absolutely. Last summer, we were working towards putting together our summer campaign. It's obviously a big moment for coconut water. Hydration, summer makes a lot of sense. Temperatures rising, people are sweating. And so we always have a big pulse in the summer. But as we were building the plan, we just weren't really loving the central creative idea. And it was like, now, you know, May, it's like, okay, well, summer's around the corner. What are we going to do? And we know that influencer content works really well for us because the brand has that cool factor. It's cool without having to say we're cool. And so we can really tap into interesting creators in a relevant way and see content perform really strongly there. And so we actually scrapped a lot of the other elements of the media plan and went all influencer and really big, like the biggest push that we've ever done for weeks long, sort of all around the central campaign idea of mind your business, stay hydrated, sort of in this world of distraction and celebrity gossip, which feels ever present right now on the backs of the Kate Middleton scandal, right? This notion of just mind your business, stay hydrated. And really launch some fun content. And one of the elements of that approach, beyond just changing at the 11th hour, was that we redid our creative brief for influencers completely. And we said, yes, you know, we know that showing the product or making sure it's clear that it's from Harmless Harvest is going to be important, but we really want to give license to these creators to develop content that's going to be authentic to their platform and to their voice and not feel like an ad, because consumers know they're being marketed to all the time. And so what can we really unlock by not having as many constraints as you might traditionally find in a creative brief, as far as product placement and product mentioning and tone even. And we saw some really great results come out of that campaign as a result. So, you know, I think one of the spots had something like a 53% thumb stop rate, which is just insane. Wow. We saw consumers really engaging with and loving the content, a lot of, you know, reposts and just authentic brand love that came out of our willingness to leverage creators for who they are, not like their audience and their reach. And so we, you know, it wasn't all perfect. We traded off some amount of ad recall on some of the spots. But you're looking at the bigger picture and looking at sort of all of these different KPIs and where we might be able to lean in a little harder in one forum and get a different result. So.
Oh, that's a great story.
That is. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So in thinking about how consumers are changing, and that was kind of cool the way that you made a last second pivot. But generally speaking, how consumers are changing, what is the one change that you think CPG marketers need to make in 2024? What's the way that they need to change their thinking or acting?
Yeah, I think there's two things that come to mind. One I kind of alluded to, which is that consumers know they're being marketed to 24/7, right? Like the jig is up. No one's sort of unaware of what's happening on these platforms. So I think that in order to have success in marketing, we need to recognize that and, you know, work with it or work harder to overcome it. So I think, you know, working with it and embracing creators and content that goes against the grain, maybe sort of approaches things differently, or like I said, you know, leverages the tone and the authenticity of that creator versus just having them produce an ad. Is one way, or, you know, leaning into it where it works. We're seeing a lot of brands do that with like, hey, this is an ad. And there are fun ways that you can get creative with that if that's authentic to your brand. So I think that's one. And then the other is relevant innovation. I think, you know, prior to starting, we were talking about Expo West and just coming back from that show. It just feels like there's still so many Me Too innovations out there. If I see another, you know, prebiotic soda, I'm going to scream. We don't need another one. And I think that we've lost sight of, you know, unmet needs and true consumer needs in pursuit of, you know, riding the coattails of something that's worked for someone else. And I think that brands that can really bring differentiation that's meaningful to the consumer and not just we added another adaptogen to whatever, are going to find success. Because I think there is an opportunity to really recenter the consumer in some of the innovation.
Yeah, that's great. I you both were at Expo West. I didn't attend this year, but just talking about it makes me exhausted. It's just there's so much there.
But there, she's right. There was a lot of prebiotic soda.
Oh yeah,
a lot. So yeah, there were. I think I came home with more ideas of things I would not do because there are clusters of things people are already doing than there were ideas of things I would do. Although, you know, those come out of some of the really cool things that you see. But yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you gave us one example with, you know, kind of pivoting towards this influencer campaign. Is there anything particularly that you could share with us where you learned something, you know, via one of the brands, one of the lines within the brand that over the last 12 months and kind of how you learned it, whether it was a finding or something that the consumer was responding to or sparked to or didn't like even? What kind of insights did you learn last year that came from one of the sublines?
Sure. So we launched our dairy-free yogurt a couple years ago, and it's done well, but we always felt that it could do better. You know, we're a beverage brand. Our equity is in beverage. Launching into a new category is definitely a challenge. And we're a relatively unknown brand even within beverage. So the unaided awareness in dairy is going to be pretty non-existent. Even the aided awareness might be pretty low. And so we launched with packaging that felt relevant to the category, felt harmless-esque, but maybe we played it a little bit safe and trying to follow too many category norms with our original packaging, and truly believed in the product, you know, got great feedback on it. And so we said, you know, we're going to completely redesign the packaging and we're not going to iterate on it. We are going to wholesale change it such that it might be hard to find in theory for someone who was familiar with the packaging and was already buying the product. We didn't have, you know, data or quant to put behind this. This was all just our gut and judgment, as marketers and, you know, a great, you know, team led analysis on the category norms vis-a-vis packaging, and where there might be opportunities for us to disrupt those, or to stand for something a little bit different. And really break through more at shelf. And so we ultimately got leadership alignment. You know, we were still led by a board of directors that the founders were on. And I think there was some reticence to do that, but effectively advocated that this was the right thing to do for the business and got that packaging in market last year and saw, you know, 20 to 25% velocity jumps just behind the packaging transition alone. That's like the holy grail for packaging evolution. You know, you always hope, oh, maybe 5 or 10%. But I think trusting the team, trusting their analysis, and really standing behind those convictions to make a risky change paid off. And I think it now, the product looks a lot more like harmless. Like we've figured out what we should look like in that category. And we actually just launched a second entirely different platform in plant-based dairy. And we're able to do so because of the success of that platform and also, you know, find how that platform should look because we finally identified kind of what the harmless look is in plant-based dairy. So I think, you know, a learning there, obviously, you know, trust your gut. Like when you believe strongly in something, fight for it. And I think it's a risk, but you've got to break some eggs to make an omelet. So
you definitely do. You definitely do. And I love the gut references too, when you talk about like plant-based yogurt. So, cause it goes in my smoothie every day, coconut plant-based yogurt. And it's on the service. So we love it. But you really followed the brand and you really did go with what you know of the brand and what consumers were connecting with. And you sat back and said, now let's go with our marketing minds, but our marketing gut. There's a good combination there. You mentioned last year too, going towards this influencer campaign and that had some great success for you. Is there anything in 2024 that you're doing differently that you've never done before? Is there something you can give us a scoop on?
Sure. So like I said, influencer does work for us, but we've always been very campaign-based in our partnerships there. We've also Our budgets haven't necessarily allowed for longer term partnerships, but we were able to plan a little bit differently for this year and have actually leaned in on a year long influencer partnership with Molly Baz. Not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's just maybe the coolest person ever. It was, you know, someone that we identified as a dream influencer for us. And when we reached out, you know, she was super excited. She's an authentic Harmless fan. So it checks that box for us. We don't want to work with anyone who just is taking a paycheck. And yeah, it was a big, big step to say we're going to dedicate all of these dollars to a year-long partnership. But I'm excited to see how that performs. We've had really strong results on the posts that she's put out thus far. She's using our product in her recipes, as well as, you know, she's pregnant right now. So she did a really fun video of cleaning out her wine fridge and restocking it with Harmless Harvest. And so just a lot of interesting content, great content because she's a great creator, but also, you know, how does that build brand awareness and trial through the repeated posts. I mean, I'm excited to try and understand that. I don't know that we'll 100% be able to measure that, but we are, as part of our summer campaign, I think the other thing that we're doing a little differently this year is we are investing in measurement. So, of course, we always get the traditional KPIs, you know, CPM and click-through rate and ad recall rate and all that good stuff that comes with a lot of the digital marketing space. But really investing in, okay, but what retail dollar sales did that holistic campaign drive? Because I think the next evolution for us as a brand is to step up to the table at demand review and say, I'm signing up for X million dollars on the backs of my marketing alone. Right. And so I want to be able to do that. I, you know, as a marketer, we should believe that our work is driving the business, and being able to quantify that. I'm really excited to do that and to be able to take that into demand review and building the plan for next year and sign up for actual volume behind marketing.
That is awesome. That is an awesome. So, looking, and by the way, awesome that you wound up with an influencer that wound up pregnant and did the whole wine thing. I mean, you can't, the things you can't plan in this life, right? Nope. They always turn out to be the best. So that is
totally,
that is a very cool thing. So kudos to Molly on that one too. So great idea. So looking at 2024, and you know, we always say it's kind of hard to have a crystal ball because there's this is a crazy year, right? We have geopolitical shifts going on. We have the Olympics. We have all kinds of things. What do you predict for 2024 that might surprise our listeners?
Yeah, I think again, coming out of Expo West, I'm just struck by the, you know, sea of sameness, but also just the sort of screaming at consumers that brands are doing with the benefit stacking. I certainly come to it with a bias for the premium functional beverage space, or a better understanding of that space, just given the category I work in. But there are so many products out there that have these wild functional benefits. They're going to make you calmer because they have these mushroom strains in them, or they're going to unlock your mood because of the adaptogens and whatnot. And I believe that consumers shop the premium functional beverage set for fun. I think there, of course, are the marathon runners and I just got sick and I need to rehydrate, or, you know, I'm taking an antibiotic and so I'm going to take a kombucha to counteract those effects. Of course, that is a portion of the category. But I think that the primary need is I want to have some fun. Like, that's why we drink a lot of these beverages, right? That's why I drink sparkling water and not water. Right. It's that moment of fun or self-care in the middle of the day. And I think that to win that occasion, which I think is a much bigger occasion than we give it credit for, I think that, and I think this can be true across categories, I think the brands that will win are the brands that can make it simpler, that aren't screaming about their benefits and that we have this many, you know, strains of bacteria and that we have prebiotics and probiotics. that may all still be there on the side of the bottle or the side of the can, but how are you thinking about, you know, winning that fun moment and letting some of that other stuff be secondary? Because I think if you can just be simpler in your communication and go after that need state a bit more, I think we'll see some interesting brands win and emerge. So I think that it's a little counterintuitive. I mean, I play in the functional beverage state. We've got potassium, we've got electrolytes. They're all great. But I think that sometimes you just want a fun beverage. And we see that on, you know, water talk and beverage talk and all that, you know, beverage goblin trend that was on social a couple months ago, right? Like, they're not drinking it just for the hydration. So getting to that emotional need in a simple way.
I had a mentor who said all of the functional claims of anything are only ever useful as a reason for somebody to choose to do something they wanted to do anyway. If you didn't want to do it anyway, none of those functional claims are going to matter. And so, and I think that was just such a brilliant insight. And that's kind of what you just said.
Right. Less is more, you know, really having a focus. I agree. Because I think it's otherwise too overwhelming for the consumer and you're not going to change behaviors that drastically. Right. But having the fun, I love that you said that, Allie, because, you know, it food should be fun. You know, food is love, love is food. So, you know, food should be fun and it should fit your lifestyle. I love the fact that you chose Molly Baz. I was introduced to her with one of her cookbooks. And then the first recipe I made was the garlic green beans with pistachio vinaigrette. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. I was hooked. And then I made her turmeric cake that had Harmless Harvest in it.
Yeah.
And delightful. I mean, just delightful. She's a great choice. So congrats on that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just wrote down garlic green beans. I have not done this yet. So, wow. Okay.
It's so happening. Good.
It's so happening.
Good. That was the first one I made from her book and the Eat This Book cookbook. And I just thought that simple, but her recipes are simpler, right? She's not trying to overcomplicate. So it's really a perfect blend for what you're saying from a marketing perspective and from a brand perspective. So that's great that you've learned that and can see what the others are doing in the industry and then, you know, can really focus what's going to work for your brand. So kudos on that. So that is a great focus there too. And, you know, we always, you know, we started the CPG Scoop really to get to know some new people, to have folks get a chance to learn a little bit, to get some insight, to have that conversation over a cup of a glass of coconut water, to really be inspired and to walk away with something that they didn't know before. And that's really what the Scoop was designed to do. And we've heard, you know, great feedback that it does just that, which we're so glad about. But, you know, we'd just love to know too with for your life, how you kind of share, you know, how you balance work. I hate to use the word balance, but how you complement works, your life, habits that you've brought into your life or hobbies you've brought into your life over the last few years, how that's all coming to be and how you can stay true to you.
Yeah, sure. So I, like many people, the pandemic was an inflection point where I put my stuff in storage pretty early on and I hit the road and I traveled all around the American West working in mountain towns, like a week here, a week there. And I was able to really get outside and connect more with something I love to do there, which is be outside, whether it's hiking or biking or rafting. And, you know, getting out of the city and closer to those things was a huge, huge personal benefit for me. And then most of my team is in Pacific time, so I'm able to flex. Sometimes I work mountain time hours, sometimes I work Pacific time hours, depending on my calendar, depending on if I want to get a hike in the morning. I'm able to do that just because I live in mountain time and have that one extra hour to play around with day to day. So yeah, I'm very fortunate to get to live and work remotely now, closer to the things that I love to do. And I just find that when I can get outside, it clears the noise, it clears the head. Getting that cardio in the mountains and the fresh air is a wonderful therapeutic. And now we've settled, my husband and I, and so no more week to week bouncing around, but now just building our community where we've chosen to make home and nurturing those friendships and getting involved locally is sort of that next phase. And I'm really, really excited to do that.
Wow. Well, that's great. That sounds like, yeah. And that maybe explains some of the your ability to clearly articulate some of the changes and things that you're seeing because you keep your head clear. And yeah, not all of us do, I assure you. I have my day.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
No, no. Well, tremendous thanks for your time today and for your insights. I think, I know I took a lot of notes. I think other people are going to be taking some notes out of this one too. And really can't wait to see what you and your brand do from here, because this seems like a perfect playground for you.
Yeah, it really fits holistically. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, sorry.
Yeah, no, we're so thrilled to have you here. You know, it sounds like your work and your life are complementary to each other. And that's always, when that can happen, I feel like that's really fantastic. And it was great to hear your inspiration and just the agility that you have there and you are as a marketer. And that's something I hope people will take away with, is doing things differently and inspiring, whether it be moving around and living the nomadic lifestyle. Love that. Wish I had done it. But I'm going to do it someday. But also for your brands, it's really been a fantastic, you know, kind of blend of looking at things with a good, clear perspective. So thank you for joining us, Allie.
Thank you, Risa. Thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate it.